Hello, and welcome to Encircled, the Halber Pocket Podcast. Episode 15, the final chapter. With the final evacuation of the 9th and 12th armies, along with their refugee entourage, our story, at least from a narrative sense, has now reached its conclusion. But of course, just because the guns have fallen silent, that doesn't mean there isn't still a final chapter of the story to tell. Given the chaos of the time, it's almost impossible to settle on a concrete number of dead. But the Soviets would later claim to have killed 60,000 German troops in the Halber Pocket, whilst capturing 120,000 prisoners, 300 tanks and self-propelled guns, and 1,500 pieces of artillery. These numbers are surely exaggerated and point to the Soviet desire to once again inflate the number of soldiers they did kill or capture in the Halber Pocket. But putting Soviet propaganda to one side, historians have settled on the approximate number of 30,000 German soldiers perishing in the pocket, with an extra 10,000 civilians also dying there. I say German soldiers in the loosest sense, as there are many foreign conscripts and volunteers in the Wehrmacht and SS in the pocket as well. And as for the Soviets, at least 20,000 men died in the fighting, whilst thousands more, on both sides, suffered injuries both mental and physical, which would stay with them for the rest of their lives. We've spent the series covering the drama of the Halber Pocket, but how can you evaluate the legacy of the events? As soon as the fighting ended in Halber, the locals were ordered by the Soviets to bury the dead. Most of this work was done by hand, and given the indifference of the conquering Soviets, little effort was made to identify the dead. Often, the bodies were simply buried in mass graves, with a plain, unmarked wooden cross placed on top. The streets, forest paths, and gardens of Halber were littered with foxholes and trenches, and many soldiers and refugees would spend their last moments in them. In many cases, these would also be their final resting place as well, as the bodies were often buried exactly where they were found. When the fighting ended, the Soviets began the process of honouring their war dead by building memorials across various towns in the area. As the centrepiece of these efforts, the Soviets built a large war cemetery next to the main Sossen-Debaret Road in 1947. Here, in this cemetery, lie more than 1,200 Soviet soldiers from the 3rd and 4th Guards Tank Armies. Also in 1947, Ernst Teichmann arrived in Halber, and it's with him that the story of the Waldfriedhof begins. Immediately after his arrival, he began working with locals to start identifying the dead, and wherever possible, he ensured they would be given a proper burial. In 1951, Teichmann became the local priest of Halber, a position which had been left vacant since the war. And on the 1st of November that same year, the construction of the Halber Waldfriedhof, or Forest Cemetery, began. Here, the German soldiers and civilians who had died in the fighting could finally be laid to rest. Over the years, Teichmann oversaw the burial of thousands of war dead in the cemetery. He was meticulous in his efforts at trying to identify the dead, and he provided care and counselling to grieving relatives. In short, Teichmann worked tirelessly on commemorating the war dead of Halber, right up until his own death in 1983. The Waldfriedhof in Halber mainly consists of graves of soldiers and civilians who perished in April and May 1945. However, more than 4,000 people who died in the nearby Soviet internment camp of Ketchendorf between 1945 and 1947 are also buried in the cemetery. These people were victims of a Soviet crackdown in Germany after the war, which aimed to root out anyone who might oppose the new regime. In 1952, Teichmann, under the watchful eye of the Stasi, oversaw the transfer of these victims to the Halber Friedhof after their bodies had been discovered in nearby mass graves. In their new resting place, the graves of the dead were marked with gravestones saying "unknown." And it was only in 2004 that the names of these victims were finally inscribed on new plaques in the cemetery. As this story goes to show, Teichmann did not always enjoy the full support of the GDR regime in his commemorative efforts in Halbe. And the fact that he managed to establish the cemetery despite the lack of official support is a testament to his efforts, and to the efforts of the people of Halbe. The cemetery is now managed by the German War Graves Commission, and more than 28,000 people are buried there, making it one of the largest Second World War cemeteries in Germany. As befitting the chaos of the Halbe pocket itself, the Waldfriedhof hosts graves from many different groups who are caught up in the fighting. German soldiers, refugees, forced foreign labourers, foreign volunteers in the German army, and of course, children, are all buried there. Undoubtedly, some of the Wehrmacht and SS soldiers buried there are guilty of heinous crimes. Others, perhaps, would have been conscripts thrown into the front line in April 1945, the result of a last-ditch effort from a despotic regime in its death throes. But for many, we'll never know their true story. Because of the more than 28,000 people buried there, many thousands of them remain unidentified, their stories still untold. For the people of Halbe, the battle is not some distant story from their past. Bodies are still being found every year, and new burials in the Halbe Waldfriedhof continue to this day. In 2020, 170 bodies were newly interred in the cemetery, and in 2022, a further 86 bodies were laid to rest there. The Brandenburg countryside was also heavily scarred by the fighting, and the impact of this fighting can still be seen on the landscape. Amongst all of the federal states of Germany, Brandenburg has the greatest amount of land contaminated by old ammunition. In 2019, it was estimated that 575,000 hectares of land in Brandenburg is still contaminated. This represents 20% of the state's entire area, along with one-third of its forests. The problem of contamination from old ammunition is made worse by the increasingly hotter summers, which have brought heat waves and droughts. This has had the rather unfortunate knock-on effect of causing old ammunition from the Second World War to explode and cause forest fires. In 2018, for instance, a forest fire broke out in the area around Bielitz and Treuenbrietzen, the area where the 9th and 12th Armies had linked up in 1945. Before firefighters could even attempt to tackle the blaze, however, the Bundeswehr had to first go in and use tanks to create fire breaks. This was because the old Wehrmacht and Red Army artillery rounds, mortar shells and bullets littering the area might have exploded at any minute. One more curious legacy of the Halbe pocket, and how it continues to impact people's lives today, can be seen in the surnames of people living in the area. Many young children lost their parents during the fighting, and when the young children were found wandering alone, most of them didn't even know their surnames. And with no parents around to say what their surnames really were, the local authorities gave these children new surnames after the town or location in which they had been found. For instance, Peter Neuendorf received his surname after being found in the town of Neuendorf, west of Halbe. Or Inge Postkeller, who was named Postkeller because she was found in the cellar of the post office. These people carry the legacy of the fighting with them every day, in their names. So yes, whilst the Second World War ended 80 years ago, in many ways, the conflict is still with us today. The fighting in the Halbe pocket, the flight of the 9th Army, the link-up with the 12th Army, and the escape of the German soldiers and refugees over the bridge at Tangermünde were all desperate events. But they were taking place at a time full of desperate events. In late April 1945, the eyes of the world were not fixed on the forests and fields of Brandenburg. They were instead fixed upon Berlin. For the world hoped that a Soviet victory there, coupled with the death of the Nazi leadership, would finally bring about peace in Europe. For these reasons, it's understandable that the events in and around Halbe were overshadowed by the final Soviet onslaught on Berlin. What's less understandable, however, is how the story of the Halbe pocket and the flight of the 9th Army has been largely overlooked within the historiography of the end of the Second World War in Europe. When historians or tour guides talk of the Battle of Berlin, they often refer to the epic Battle of the Zillow Heights, the brutal street fighting which took place in Berlin, and of course, Hitler's suicide in the bunker. The events in Halbe, if mentioned at all, are treated as a sideshow. And the amount of literature covering the fighting in Halbe pales in comparison to the number of books, films, and TV shows which focus on the Battle of Berlin. This humble podcast series has therefore tried to redress this balance by shining a light on the tragic events which took place in Halbe and the surrounding countryside during those fateful days of late April and early May 1945. In my view, these events deserve to be known by a wider audience. In researching this series, I've relied on some truly excellent books, and I urge you all to read them for yourselves if you're looking to dive deeper into the story of the Halbe Pocket and the breakout of the Ninth Army. For a general overview of the Soviet assault on Berlin and the consequences this had in forming the Halbe Pocket, the seminal works of Cornelius Ryan's The Last Battle and Anthony Beevor's Berlin, The Downfall, 1945 are a great place to start. To learn more about the fighting in the Halbe Pocket itself, along with the stories of the soldiers and civilians who lived through it, I recommend the excellent Slaughter at Halbe from Tony Letizier, The Battle of Halbe, 1945, Eyewitness Accounts from Hell's Cauldron from Eberhard Baumgart, and Der Kessel von Halbe, 1945, from Richard Lukowski and Karl Stich. All of these books were immensely helpful in preparing the series, and they are all a fantastic resource for anyone wanting to learn more about the topic. They are also the source of the quotes and stories I've used throughout the series. To finish this series, I'll leave you with some words from Frank-Walter Steinmeier, current president of Germany, who, as foreign minister back in 2015, gave a speech at the Waldfriedhof Halbe commemorating the 70th anniversary of the battle. Silence. That is the word used by many people who experienced the end of the war. The silence that fell when the grenades were no longer exploding and low-flying aircraft was no longer screaming overhead. The silence when the cannons had stopped and the screams of the dying had faded away. Silence, like now, here at the cemetery in Halbe. For those who survived 70 years ago, the silence came like a deliverance. It is still silent today above the graves of those who did not survive. Perhaps it is too silent. Because the dead are silent, everything starts all over again. These words by the French philosopher Gabriel Marcel, who lived through both world wars, express the fear that silence will make people forget the past. And so we are called upon to take action. When the dead are silent, the living must speak up so that everything does not start all over again. We, the living, must keep the memory of the dead alive. We must recognize and take on board the warning that this place virtually shouts at us. Despite the silence here, above the graves. That was the story of the Halbe Pocket. Thank you for listening.